That's amazing. A.A. Allen, in 1955, he purchased a large tent for $8,500. Back then, that was a ton of money. Allen was soon one of the major healing evangelists on the revival circuit. His revival meetings were similar to other leading evangelists at the time, Jack Coe, Oral Roberts, William Branham. Their meetings were typically characterized by preaching, testifying, music, praying for those in need of healing. I don't know if you've ever watched any of their messages. You can go, if you have the internet, you can go online, go to YouTube, and search for A.A. Allen, search for Catherine Kuhlman, and see some of these healings, dramatic healings happen. You can listen to Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was the pilot, the co-pilot for Oral Roberts. He was the driver. He ministered as he was in Bible college. Here's what Oral Roberts had him do. You see that big tent, that big crowd? They had another tent off to the side, which was called the invalid tent. Those people that were the worst cases, invalids on beds, wheelchairs, and things, they would put them in that tent, and Kenneth Copeland would be in the meeting and take notes on everything that Oral Roberts preached. Then he would, as soon as he finished preaching, while he's praying for the sick, he would go into that invalid tent and he would preach the same message that Oral Roberts had just preached to help build up their faith, get the word into them. And then Oral Roberts would come in and pray for them after he'd prayed for everybody in the other tents. You can hear Kenneth Copeland say, one day he said, "You're going to pray for him." "Ha, me? What?" He goes, "You're going to pray for him now. Don't worry, I'm right here with you." And then he started his ministry. But he started first by preaching the same message so that they had their faith built up. So when Brother Roberts came in and laid hands on them, many of them were healed. These were gifts of healing, ministries through God, from God, through the Holy Spirit, through these men and women of God to touch this world. Amen? Did you know that Jesus healed all everywhere he went? You start reading through the Bible. You start reading through the Word where it says he went to this city and that city. It says he healed all. All right, you think of a city of this size. Jesus walks into this city of Grandview, and people hear he's coming. They start bringing people out of the nursing homes. They start bringing them out of the hospitals, and they bring them to him. And the people that they carried there walked home. The people they pushed there in a wheelchair, if they even had a wheelchair, walked home. To be healed requires faith. Those in Nazareth were a different story. Let's go to Mark 6, verses 5 and 6. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ, who healed everyone everywhere he went. But in Nazareth, it says, now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village in the circuit teaching. The gift of faith can be in, or the gift of healings can be in operation, and a lot of people won't be healed because they don't have any faith. They are in unbelief. That's why Kenneth Copeland had to preach to those who had been in the other tent. Now today, what they would do is closed circuit TV, have a TV in there. They would have all kinds of audio in there, a speaker system, so that they could see and hear in the overflow, as we call it now, what was being done in the main tent. Back when Oral Roberts was teaching, that technology didn't exist. You had a microphone to a set of speakers. Well, so Kenneth Copeland had to do all that secondary preaching of the same message so that those people had the same faith. Because coming in to pray for them without faith, those people have been wheeled right back to their hospitals. And we know that because of the Word. That happened in Nazareth. If Jesus couldn't heal them, they were unhealable, not because they had diseases he couldn't handle, but because they didn't have any faith. So when the gifts of healings or the laying on of hands by a believer for healings are being accomplished, being practiced, The person that's to receive has to believe. Now, there can be a miracle where God does something and the faith is in the person that's praying for them because that person doesn't have any idea who Jesus is. But they said, I heard you. I could be healed. Heal me. That's such a small measure of faith. God will do the work. But for the most part, if you're in unbelief, you're saying, huh, slap it on me. Give it your best shot. I'm going to stand here. I came in with this disease. I doubt very seriously you're going to do anything. I'm going to go out with this disease. Guess what? They're going to go out with this disease. Because it's Scripture, Mark 6, 5, and 6. When you pray for the sick, check on their belief. If God moves on you to pray for a special situation, you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to go pray for this person, pray for him. I told you the story about Todd White. He prayed for 1,000 people because he read in the Word, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it says, hey, God, it says right there in Mark that these signs will follow those who believe. I believe. So I'm going to go out and start praying. His wife wouldn't go to Walmart with him for a number of years because he was going to go pray for the sick. He didn't just walk in and start looking through and say, there's nobody sick here. He went after the people that were driving those carts. Chased them down. Can I pray for you? And people would say, no. He goes, well, obviously you're sick. You're in that cart. Can I pray for you? And he'd finally get them to say yes. For years, he prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He would go home and journal how many people he prayed for, what they had. He said, it took me 45 minutes to write down the people I prayed for. And nobody got healed that I saw, is what he said. He said, but I kept believing what the Word said. Then he talked about some meetings he went into, and he got touched by the Holy Spirit. He got called out in the meeting. He got touched by the Holy Spirit in a mighty way. Go look at his testimony. It's online. It's on YouTube. You'll see it. But he started praying for people. He started seeing people get healed. People started getting up. One lady had her back surgery fused to where she was in an L shape so she could sit down. When she stood up, her torso and her shoulders were even with her hips. And that's the way she'd had to walk. So she was wheelchair bound or she was sitting constantly. Had been for 12 years. Massive scars on the back where they'd done all this different surgery to fuse all of her spine that way. He said when he prayed for her, he felt those bones pop and crack. Hurt him. And she stood up. She touched her toes. She waddled down he said, walk. She waddled straight down the way. Came back. Then she did it faster and faster. Then she's running. Gave him a big old hug. That happened to be the day that his wife decided to go to the store with him. She came around the corner of that aisle, not knowing he was in that aisle. And he said, go tell her. And this lady went and told her and showed her the scars on her back. Those were gifts of healing because a supernatural manifestation occurred in such a way that something happened that was undeniable. Amen? But in Nazareth, their unbelief did not allow them to be healed. And there are many people in church services that come in just as bad as they, or leave just as bad as they came in because they have unbelief. I've had this for so many years, I guess I'm going to have it till I go to the grave. That's unbelief. I've told the story before about a young girl in North Dakota. I was standing over here on the right side of the platform. I'd been playing guitar early before the service along with Pastor Al and Debbie. We were all playing guitar and leading worship. And then afterwards, I'd come back up. He's doing the altar call. And I'm standing over here and about over that side of the room. This young girl got up to come up to be healed. And she got about a step and a half, and then I could see her face. It just complete pain. And she stopped. And that girl was probably this tall. It was about 3.5 feet. Not quite 4 feet. I saw a man jump out of the aisle, out in the aisle, pick her up, bring her up. Knelt her down right here next to the pulpit. Well, there's a banister, real thin banister here. That was our altar. She knelt down there. Long story short, as I was praying with her, she was getting scared. So I asked the people around that were praying for her, why don't you just sit down on the front row and just quietly pray for her because you're scaring her. And they did. They didn't want to. They wouldn't be part of it, but they did. And I talked to her, and the Lord said, have her follow you in prayer. So I said, you know, when you asked Jesus into your heart, did someone pray a little bit and you repeated it? She goes, yes. Okay. How about we pray that way for healing? She said, okay. Now she's on her knees. There's no pain in her face. She's not moving. And we prayed. All I knew was that she was praying for healing for her foot. We prayed back and forth, and I felt impressed. Stand up. And she stood up, and she's holding on to the banister. Now the banister went out to about over here where the speaker is. Platform went to there. And then as far over to the window was the aisleway, and there was a stained glass window there. I told her, I said, walk along the banister. And she had a look of terror on her face. And I said, don't worry, just hold on to the banister. She walked to the end of the altar, stopped, turned around, came back, and she used it like a handrail, like going up and down steps. I said, now walk to the window. She walked along the banister, let go of the banister, and walked all the way over to the window. And she walked over to that window. If this was the wall, she walked over to that window, and she stood there and looked down at her feet. All of a sudden, I saw her head come up like this, and she turned around and looked at me, and this big grin just started growing on her face all the way ear to ear. I said, come here, honey, you're healed. She ran back and jumped in my arms. 3 weeks later, we were having a baptismal service out at the lake. The lake had the rock beach, not sand, but the rock beach. It's a fishing lake, you know. It wasn't a swimming lake. It was a fishing lake. But we had an area that we were going to water baptize people at. And she came up to me and said, Pastor Jeff, you remember me? You prayed for me for healing? I said, yeah, honey. How you doing? She kicked off that little sandal thing that she had, and she stomped her foot on the ground. She goes, you prayed for me for healing, and I'm still healed. But what I saw when she kicked that sandal off, she had a big, ugly welt across the top of her foot that was about 3 weeks healed. And I said, thank you, Lord, you didn't show me that her foot was all bandaged up, and I didn't see that because I might not have had enough faith for that. Then I talked to her mother, and her mom said that her and her two brothers were, you know, cinder block, cement block. It's got open areas or holes down in them. It was half of a cinder block, so it was the 4x4 square. They were kind of throwing at each other, and they would pick it up and throw it back. They're playing keep away with a cinder block. It was boys out on the reservation. She saw them having so much fun jumping as the block would come at them, you know, dodgeball with the cinder block, that she jumped in to catch it and hit her foot and smashed it. The doctor had told, that was on a Saturday, the doctor had told them, if we do surgery, she'll never walk again because we'll have to cut through those muscles and it'll never heal. She'll never walk again. So let's see how things go. That was the Saturday before the Sunday morning that she came to service. I didn't know all this until 3 weeks afterwards. But that girl was still healed 3 weeks later, stomping that same foot on the ground. Amen? So God gave that little girl her foot back. Where the doctors were saying, we'll see. We don't know. God does. Back in 1970, I started having seizures in Columbus, Ohio. We were getting ready to move back from there to Kansas City. Next thing you know, I wake up in the hospital. We were moving, and Grandpa had asked me to go get a hammer. Do you know where a hammer is? Yeah, one's down here in Dad's tool area. Next thing you know, I wake up in the hospital. What's going on? He said, you had a seizure. What's that? So they started explaining to me what a seizure was. They started doing tests. Said, yep, you got this, you got that, you got that. You got to be on these medications. And I now was supposedly an invalid all the rest of the way home. Everybody's watching me because I'm going to, oh my gosh, he's going to freak out and seize again. And I had a few others after we got back to Missouri. Put me on medication. Said, yep, you've got it, family disease, you're going to keep it. Be yours the rest of your life. Well, I got saved in 1974. I'd never heard of divine healing. I'd never heard of somebody praying for the sick. I went to a church revival. I'd never heard of a revival before. I had to have somebody explain to me what this revival was. So I went with a buddy from school down to this revival down in Butler, Missouri. Assembly of God Church down there. I didn't know there was such a group of Assembly of God or any other Pentecostal church. I went there. I was already filled with the Spirit because I'd been reading the book of Acts and the Lord filled me with the Spirit. And I'll tell that story another day, but I was already filled with the Spirit and I loved to pray and sing and have my hands raised and all kinds of things. It just felt better. I liked it. I could worship. I was going to a Methodist church. Methodist church. Nothing wrong with the United Methodist Church. But that wasn't the kind of preaching they did. That wasn't the kind of singing they did. It was all hymns. But I sang choruses. I enjoyed that. As we had worship tonight, and God was moving and hands being raised, and I'd sing in my room. I had a reel-to-reel that I could play some of these songs on because there wasn't master radio stations out there that had all this. Anyway, 1975, I'm down there at that revival, and I came up about to this area when they asked for prayer the second night that I was down there. And I had my eyes closed, and while I was praying, my eyes closed. You know those cartoon hands that are like Mickey Mouse hand, the white glove, with a big fat finger, the puffy hand, just like Mickey Mouse hand had been taken off. And I had my eyes closed, and it's like I could see that coming at me. I started looking at that hand with the finger outstretched at me. And about the time that finger in my vision, with my eyes closed, touched my forehead, the minister anointed me with oil in the same spot. Next thing you know, I feel myself being laid out. I'm no little guy. I laid down like a board. I was over here to the left of the platform, the far end of the platform, when I came to. God told me some things while I was under the power. But I told my buddy, I said, everybody in the church must have been praying for me. He goes, yeah, they were. I said, no, I mean, they were up there and had their laid hands on me. He goes, no, there was an evangelist in front of you, the pastor on one side, pastor, assistant pastor on the other, they had their hands on your shoulder on each side, and the evangelist in front of you. And I said, but when I was laid back down, I could feel the fingers down both sides of my body laying me down. The word says they'll give his angels charge over you, right? Amen. I could feel the fingers. He argued with me. I said, but I could feel the fingers. See, God did a miraculous work. I still was under my mom and dad's authority. I was in high school. I was taking major medication. It's a dangerous medication now because of what's in it. They pulled it from the scene. It had phenobarbital. You can still get that. Dilantin, they still give that out. But it also, because those were such downers, methamphetamine. Same stuff these kids out here are blowing their minds on. I was on it 3 times a day for years. Some of those years I don't remember. I mean, I don't. And yet, I knew I was healed. My parents said, you have to keep taking your medicine. So we went to the doctor, normal visit. He drew the blood a week ahead of time and had it all and did all my tests. And same thing he's always said. Yeah, he's got this and he's doing fine. He's not progressing. But I'm concerned that you're not taking your medicine. I said, I am taking my medicine. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I'm taking my medicine 3 times a day. And my mom looked at me like, okay, you told me you're taking your medicine. He said, Mom, you need to verify that he's taking his medicine. I want you every time to see it in his hand. Put it in his mouth. Let him show you it's in the mouth. Have him swallow it. Let him open his mouth, move his tongue around, that he's not hiding it. And you come back and see me in 6 months. My mom had a scowl on her face when we walked to the car. I said, Mom, I'm taking it. She goes, I don't want to hear it. And every day, three times a day. When I was at school, I would take it. She goes, did you take your medicine at school? Yes, I did. Made the nurse, the school nurse, had to show her that I was taking the medicine. I was under authority of my parents. But I told God every time I took it, silently, I would pray, God, this medicine will not heal me. And it's not going to ruin the healing you've already given me. So God, I take this word, I take this pill, because I'm under their authority, but I trust you for my healing. And I continued to take it. We went back to the doctor at that 6 months. He did the same checkups. He said the same things. And then he said, Mom, he's still not taking his medicine. And they said, what do you mean he's not taking his medicine? There's no medicine in his blood. He has not taken his medicine in 6 months. My mom quietly said, okay, well, we'll deal with that when we get home. We walked out and I said, Mom, just like I did this 6 months earlier. Mom, I am. She goes, I know you are. I watch you take it. I don't know why he's not seeing it in your blood. But we're not going to go and do this anymore. I trust you. You're taking it. His test is not showing it in the blood, but for some reason, we're going to keep going. You go ahead and take it. That was in 1976. I don't take any medicine for that. Haven't for decades. Amen. See, I honored my parents. And I took the medicine because I had to, but God made it water in my blood. There wasn't any medicine in there because God had already healed me. What God told me when I was on the ground, I'm giving you a new mind. That minister that prayed operated in the gifts of healings. I got healed. Amen. Recently, I had mouth pain. I told you the story about that. All of a sudden, it's like on Saturday night, these two teeth just decided to flare up. I don't know why both of them at the same time, why it did it on a Saturday night. All I could think of is, it's Saturday night. Tomorrow is Sunday morning. I've got Sunday school. I've got service. I've got to preach. And then we're going out of town. We're going someplace to be at other meetings. It's going to be two meetings that I'm teaching and preaching in, and two other meetings, and we won't get home till late. God, I've got to have some sleep. This is not good. I figured I was going to help Kathy drive. I didn't get to drive, did I? She got tired. She couldn't turn it over to me. There's no way. But Sunday school, I kept putting water in my mouth. As long as I had those teeth covered, I didn't have any pain. But see, God had told me in the middle of the night, when I said, God, I got to get some sleep. He said, put some water in your mouth. And I did, and the water calmed it down. It didn't take it away. As soon as the water was gone, it started growing back again. So all night long, I did that. Well, I talked to the dentist when I finally went in there here not too long ago. Told him that story. He goes, the infection in the tooth causes gases and heat. They cause the pressure against the gums, which you feel as tooth pain. You putting the water in your mouth dissipated those gases, reduced the pain, and caused it to escape without being undue pressure, and you didn't have any pain. You did a natural element, wisdom, to get rid of that situation. Now, I knew I had to go to the dentist, but to get through that night, to get through that day, that's what God had me do. Come to find out, the dentist said, yep, without antibiotic or without some kind of pain pill, that's the only thing you could have done. I didn't know that. So God gives us wisdom. Healings can be instantaneous as God uses the gift of miracles and the gifts of healing at the same time. Other times, it can be gradual. Other times, it can be a situation where Larry tells about in his book where he prayed for this woman and prayed for this one man and he was all bent over and he walked out straight as an arrow. A woman next to him was white cane, blind, prayed for her. She said, thank you, and she walked out tapping her cane. Years later, he got a letter, and he often wondered, God, why did you heal this person and not that? What was different? I know I had the same faith. I know you were moving. I know, why didn't this lady get healed, but that one did? Years later, he got a letter, and this person said, years ago, I was in a meeting with you, and you prayed for my mom. I was there with my mom. She was blind. And as we left, we got out to the curb, and it was raining, so I went to go get the car, and my wife and my mother stayed at the curb. We did that so she didn't have to walk to the parking lot and bring the car up to her. Did that all the time. He said, by the time I got to the car, I heard my mom shriek. And so I raced back to her. As I got close, I could hear her saying, I can see, I can see. The healing didn't happen in the service, but it happened by the time before she got to the car. And then she hadn't driven because she'd been blind. She went and passed her test and got her driver's license. And then she thought, well, I need to go get some glasses because all my friends that are my age are all wearing glasses and I'm not. So she went to Walmart and they test her eyes. And they said, you don't need any glasses. Your vision's 20/20. So she didn't just get some of her vision. God restored her vision. But he didn't find out about it until years later. But he didn't get to see it, and they didn't see it until sometime after. So sometimes it's gradual and then happens at another moment. So don't give up on your healing. When you're prayed for, you continue to say, I know I'm healed. Like I did, my doctor for all those years kept saying, no, you have this disease. And I kept saying, no, I know I'm healed. You take this medicine or else, okay, but God, I'm putting this in your hands. I'm under my parents' authority, so I have to. I didn't give up on my healing. Now, we can't decide how God will work, can we? We minister, and the Holy Spirit decides. Okay? We have to ask God how we should pray. You can't just say, I prayed for this person the same way I prayed for everybody else. Sometimes we have to know where we need to stand. What does James 1 say? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. Amen? You watch some of the preachers that we follow. They get ready to pray. Sometimes they'll stop. They'll look at the person. They're listening to God. They're asking, what do I need to do here? What do I need to pray for? And then they pray. Sometimes they ask the people some questions. But you ask God, Lord, what do I pray about? What should I stand on here? What verse do I need to stand on? Because, see, the angels perform the word. And as you speak the word, the angels do the work, right? They do the word. Sometimes we need to find out, Lord, do we do this or we do that? Larry tells about his son, Robbie. When he was a boy, I'm talking about a baby, he had pyloric stenosis, which is where every time he'd drink milk, he'd come back up. He was getting weaker and weaker. And one doctor says, we got to go in and do surgery. Got to get him to hospital, do surgery, and cut that muscle, and he'll be fine. He'll have it all his life, but we've got to save his life. And Larry and Loretta, in his book, he said they prayed. They prayed and asked God for wisdom. And they felt like God said, get a second opinion. They contacted another doctor, and that doctor says, guess what? There's a new miracle drug out. We can give that drug, and you won't have to have surgery, and it'll take care of that muscle. So they went to that guy, and that's what happened. Sometimes we have to ask God, God, what do you want to do? What is your wisdom in this? Because, see, it's not our will. It's his. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to seek God. We need to be open to what he's doing. I told about the dental work recently that I had. I told about the epilepsy, the medication situation. I told about the young lady. Different things. Some of the things with my life, I had to pray and ask God, what do I do? What's happening here? Why aren't you healing me? Okay, do this. Do that. The gifts of healing is an outpouring of the ministry gifts, and it's manifested when and how God decides. You can't choose, I want to work in the gifts of healings. It's the Holy Spirit gift given by him for a specific purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. All those years that I had been told I have epilepsy, all those years that I had to take that medication, three times a day I confessed my healing. Three times a day I confessed that I was healed. I wasn't a Bible scholar. I wasn't around faith healers. I'd changed from going to the Methodist church to an Assembly of God church there close to my home. I walked in faith, not knowing what walking in faith was. But I knew God had healed me. I knew what he said, and I stood by that. I wasn't going to go back on it. And God didn't go back on anything. Guess what? Eventually, I didn't have to take that medication anymore. Don't give up on your healing or on God. If you want to work in, you want to minister in a gift of healings, first thing is get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Second is learn all of the scriptures on healing that you can. And maybe the Holy Spirit will choose you someday in a specific purpose, a specific time, for a specific event. You can't guarantee that he will or he won't. But knowing the word on healing, these signs shall follow those who believe. And as a believer, you can pray for healing of somebody. But there's a difference between praying for an individual or praying for the multitudes that we saw earlier. Amen? So God works mysteriously in some of these gifts. Some of them have a parallel flow, like I talked about the body. Has a parallel flow of the spiritual body, the body of Christ, being able to pray for the sick. But then there's the actual gift of healings, which is a supernatural manifestation. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I come against all of the opportunity the enemy has tried to have to steal the word out of the hearts and minds of these people. Lord, I pray that this word stay on good ground, that it go deep, that each one would mix this with faith, go home and study their notes, chew on it, meditate on it, and see it come to fruit in their lives. Lord, let it be productive for each one that heard this in Jesus' name. Amen.